Well, I would like to share with you today about a conference in the Old Testament. It was probably the greatest conference ever held in the Old Testament, and it's found in Nehemiah chapter 7. In fact, the scriptures tell us that there were as many as possibly 50,000 people at this conference. And from what we can gather, it was probably a 7-day conference. And I want to share with you just three facts from that conference that made it very significant, and I believe that these three facts will apply to us today. Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 66 and 67 give us some idea of a large group of people. And then if you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, and we'll see that these people were gathered as one man. And today we're gathered together as a group in this great hall, and I'd like to share with you how this conference can be significant in your life. It's possible that there may be up to 10,000 people around the world praying for this conference. We have this request, a request in the International Prayer Guide for this particular conference today. And there may be as many as 10,000 people praying specifically for you today. So I sense when that many people pray that God will act. And this could be a conference of eternal significance in your life. So as we look at this conference that was held in the Old Testament, I want to share with you three key facts that will make today significant in your Christian life. And the first one was in verse 1 of chapter 8. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book. The people said to Ezra the priest, they said, Ezra, bring the book. And so today we're going to focus on the book, and in particular on our theme, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And then in verse 3, all the people were attentive to the book. So today, men, you and I need to be people who are attentive to the book. And so the first step that you and I need to be aware of today is that we need to have a desire to learn. And if you happen to be just jotting down notes, let me encourage you to put down a desire to learn. Each of us today need to be men who have a desire to learn what is in the book. The word disciple that we use comes from a Latin word, discipulus, which comes from a Greek word, mathetes. And this Greek word, mathetes, is used more than 250 times in the New Testament. Now, that Greek word, mathetes, means a learner. So a disciple is someone who is a learner. And today, you and I want to be men who are disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to be men who have a desire to learn. And the fundamental meaning of the word disciple is one who wants to learn. So today, the key thing in our experience is that you and I be men who come here with a heart to learn. I remember just recently I was with a man named Jay Wheeler, who's part of our staff. He's responsible for the ministry in Fort Collins. And Jay, as soon as I walked in the door, the first thing Jay started to do was ask me questions. He said, John, what do you do here? What do you do here? How do you do this? Here's a man probably 10 years my senior, but a tremendous desire to learn. And it's true that oftentimes we're willing to learn from those possibly older than us, but you and I need to be ones that are willing to learn from anybody. And so Jesus has given us a gracious invitation. In Matthew 11, verse 29, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And that is the most gracious invitation in the New Testament. Jesus is asking you and I to learn from him. And today, that's what he wants to do. So I pray that all of us will have a desire to just learn from Jesus today. Well, there's a second great fact from chapter 8 about these people. And it's in verse 9. Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites taught the people and told them what kind of day this was. And then the last part of the verse, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. And the second great truth is that you and I need to be men with a tender heart. You and I need to be men that are tender to God's word. As these men listen, this great multitude listened to God's word, they were tender to the word of God. So much so that they wept over the word of God. And it's true, man, that many of us very rarely weep over God's word. I think it's oftentimes that we just take this for granted. But you and I need to spend time in the book in such a way that our hearts become tender to the word of God. In Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2, it gives us three great prerequisites for leadership. And I think you and I that are in positions of leadership in the years to come need to take note of what God sees as prerequisites for leadership. And in those verses, the Lord tells us that he has made the heavens and the earth, and he says, all these things are mine. God has everything in his hands. But he says, this is the man to whom I will look. God says, I will look to a certain kind of man. And that man has three qualities. He that is humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. So you and I need to be men that are humble, men that are contrite in spirit, and that means ones that have repentant spirits. And maybe as God speaks to me and to you today, God will just touch you on some area. And you and I need to have a repentant spirit as God touches our heart. And then one that trembles at God's word. You and I need to be sensitive to the word of God. So as the scriptures are shared today, just let God touch your heart and be sensitive, have a tender heart. The man that led me to Christ was Jack Griffin, a businessman in Sydney. And he was, as we would say, a rough diamond. He'd been involved in the underworld in Sydney and ran his own business in the auto car business and was a tough, hard-headed businessman. And yet the fascinating thing was to sit in a meeting like this, and Jack, at 55 years of age at that time, sitting in the front row with a Bible and his notebook, listening to the person preaching, and oftentimes I would see him with tears just come to his eyes as the man was preaching. A man whose heart was tender to the word of God. Well, today, I would encourage you, as you think of this message and the workshops and the message tonight, to ask God to give you one thing in each message. When we're through in this session and the coming sessions, when we're finished, ask God, Lord, is there one thing that you've taught me today? Help me to grasp one thing. Allow my heart to be tender to your Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, in 2 Kings 22, verse 19, probably one of the greatest men that ever lived was Josiah. And as far as I can tell, he probably only made one major mistake in his life. He died at the age of 39. And this man, Josiah, the Lord said of this man in 2 Kings 22, verse 19, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself, truly I have heard you. And that's what we want, men, isn't it? That God will hear us. And sometimes we wonder why God doesn't hear us. And it's because we haven't come to that point of being willing to humble ourselves and have a heart that's tender towards God. And as a result of that man being tender towards God, the whole course of human history was altered. And in verse 20, we read that God postponed judgment at that time until after that man's death. He, in fact, changed the course of history because of his tender heart. And it could be as the years go by that you, men, will change the entire course of the 20th century because you have a tender heart towards God. God gives us a great promise in Psalm 25:9. He says, he leads the humble and he teaches the humble his way. So God promises to lead and to teach those of a humble and contrite spirit. Let me ask you, men, are you tender to the touch of God? You know, Jesus, when he came to the city of Jerusalem in Luke 19, verse 41, it says he saw the city and wept over it. And just a few days ago, I heard Leroy Imes standing here describing the situation in Malaysia. And as he described it, one could sense that God had touched his heart because of the needs of that country. And you and I, as we look at the academy or this city or this country or the world, are our hearts tender? Jesus saw the city and wept over it. And prayer prepares the heart. And I'd just like at this point in our message to just stop for a moment. And I'd like us to just have a few moments of silent prayer. And I'd like you to just talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to give you a tender heart today as the Holy Spirit would speak to you. Amen. Let me share with you the third exciting thing that happened in this particular conference that was in the time of Nehemiah. And it's found in chapter 10 and verse 28. We've skipped 9 because in chapter 9 we see the situation where they got so excited about spending time with God that they had a great document drawn up. In fact, they pronounced this great document. And then the first part of chapter 10, you see a great hunk of names. And these were all the signatories to that particular document. And the people said, we are committing ourselves to what God has asked us to do. And in verse 28, we see an exciting thing. And this is a third great factor in this particular time. And it was a willingness to act. Verse 28, all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the land to the law of God. There was a dual separation. The people decided to separate themselves from the people to the law of God. And so you and I are called to be separated from this world and to be separated to God. And that is the very meaning of the word saint that's used in the New Testament. The word saint comes from a Greek word hagios, which means to be separated from in order to be separated to. And so God has called us in Romans 1, 6 and 7 to be saints. God is calling each one of us here from in order that we may be separated to. God is calling us from the unholy to the holy. And in history we see a certain number of great men who have separated themselves from the world in order to be separated to God. And one of these great men was John Bunyan. And John Bunyan, before he became a Christian, was a man in dire straits and was a man who was in fact a total illiterate. He had no formal schooling. And yet when he came to Christ, he became one of the greatest writers in Christendom today. And this particular man, as you know, one period that he was in jail, wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And in fact, there's just a mere handful of words that are contained in the scriptures. And John Bunyan became literate through reading the Bible. And God took a man, separated him from the world, and he separated himself to God. And God can take us from around this world and separate us to God. God is calling each one of us to be saints. Another great man in history was John Newton. And as you recall, John Newton was a slave trader, taking blacks from Africa and trading them. And this same man was converted in an unusual way. And today, we know that he wrote one of those great hymns, the one, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear." And this man on the point of conversion never really thought that God could forgive him. And so he wrote that great hymn, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear." Someone who dropped to the depths of despair. It may be that even today there's someone here that needs to make that great step. Step from being separated from to being separated to him. And if in your own experience you're not real clear as to just where you stand, let me encourage you, as Marty was sharing, to make that great step towards the road to high adventure. Let me encourage you to know God today. And if in your own experience you're not sure if Jesus Christ lives in your heart, then maybe God is calling you today to make that critical step. In verse 29 of chapter 10, we read that these men took an oath. And the oath was to walk in God's law, and then secondly, to keep and to observe all the commandments. So as a result of being separated from, in order to be separated to, they then decided to walk in God's law. And that's what we're called to do in this verse. Our theme verse for today is to walk with God. Having received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And God is calling us, if we have received Christ, to walk with Him. God requires of each one of us a total and irrevocable decision to walk with Him. And so maybe today in your experience you're starting to walk with God, you've received Christ, but God may be calling you to really a total commitment to walk with Him. And during the workshops this afternoon and this evening, you'll have an opportunity to learn more on how to walk with God. In this verse that precedes Colossians 2, 6 and 7, Paul says, I rejoice to see your good discipline and stability. And these men were men that were disciplined and stable, and it's a picture of a great army amassed together with real solid fortitude. And so as you and I think of the Christian life, a lot of you men here are solid in the Christian faith. You're walking with God. And as a result, God is asking you not only to walk with Him, but also to be built up in Him. And that word firmly rooted is in the past tense. But now being built up in Him is in the present tense. And that's what God is calling you and I to do. You and I have been rooted in Christ, and now He wants us to be built up in Him. Layer on layer, God wants to do a deep work in your experience today. And it may be that God is calling you to really commit yourself in some area of your life today, to really walk with Him. And maybe God is calling you to a total walk, that you've come to know Christ, you've experienced Him, but you're not really walking with Him. And today we would like to help you and experience how you can walk with Him better. It may be that God is going to touch you in some specific area, and you'll need today, as a result of today, to commit yourself in some particular area. And as a result of the entire day, God may lay it on your heart to claim Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It may finish up that you write on here on March 1974 that I claim this particular verse, that I had decided to continue. I have started and I want to continue. Maybe God will lay it on your heart as a result of today to really walk with Him totally and maybe specifically in some area. I know Jack Griffin, again, has a business card that he would often use with people. And on his business card, he had Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And under that, he had this little phrase, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's quite a challenge to have on a business card when a man turns that one over and sees that. Kind of strikes him fairly solidly. Well, it may be today that God is speaking to you. And all of us only have one life. And it'll soon be past. It's only a short time that we have. Maybe another 10, 20, 30 years. And only what's done for Christ will last. So men, you and I need to be ones that are giving ourselves totally to walking with God. So during this day, as we press into the activities, let me encourage you, first of all, to have a desire to learn. Secondly, to have a tender heart. And then thirdly, as God speaks to you, that you'll be willing to act. That you'll be willing to walk in His ways. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for just the privilege of being together and listening to your word. And I pray that you might touch the heart of every person in this room, and that today will have eternal significance for everyone. And now, Lord, as we go to various other activities, I pray that we will be ones that have a desire to learn, that we will have a tender heart, and that, Lord, as you speak to us, we'll be willing to act. So we thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.